Wake up weekday mornings, LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 5s. And A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta on Suffolk County's news and information leader. 103.9 LI News Radio.
Well, the president feeling quite positive after last night's address. It's the focus of a spotlight segment right here on Long Island. Hank Shinkoff, Shinkoff Communications, always a pleasure. Henry, good morning, sir.
How are you, my brother? What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, a little groggy staying up for that 80-minute address. Nonetheless, the president issuing calls for bipartisan action from Congress on infrastructure and immigration. First State of the Union, Henry, your thoughts?
Too long. Look, let's go back. State of the Unions tend to be long. Clinton's was long. Trump's was long. They tend to be self-congratulatory. This one was. And they tend to be programmatic. This one attempted to be. And so he met those three standards. What does it mean for the nation? Means that those who like him more. Those who like him less. And programmatically, it means that pay attention to the words infrastructure and America is back. Part of this is a ripping of a page out of the Ronald Reagan book, and Ronald Reagan's book went right to the very same voters that Donald Trump picked up and won the election with in 2016.
You know, Hank, I look at these things as window dressing. You know, you don't get a lot of substance. You want to hear more about policies. You didn't get that. You know, very optimistic about the nation, its future, declaring the State of the Union is strong. Paraphrasing here, our people are strong. And really saying that there is what he called the new American movement of possibility. He gave a lot of warnings of threats to Americans. He focused on violence with the MS-13 gang. We know that. But, you know, these types of addresses, you know, I don't take them seriously. Because with Donald Trump, you know, he'll say one thing and maybe do another thing 2 days later. The tweets and everything else will come back into play. Listen, it all sounds good. You know, but I like to see, you know, to me, actions are stronger than words. You know, I still look at this thing, Hank, as a week from today or so, you know, we have another threat of another government shutdown. We have the dangling of a carrot once again as Congress, you know, regarding immigration and the 1.8 million and the $25 billion for the wall. You know, I still look at that. Really no mentions of anything of substance in that. You don't get substance in these addresses. Let's face it.
There is no substance, and what is damning about this is the amount of money that we are borrowing, the attempt to tickle people's souls by talking about health care, which is now in a state of absolute increase, a tax plan and a tax bill enacted that will make Long Island in a lot of cases uninhabitable financially for an awful lot of people. That's what we're not hearing about. But the jingoistic rhetoric that seeks to identify others and demonize them is what you heard a lot of. The Economist this past week has a very important cover, something that a lot of us have been talking about, how close we are to war with others throughout the world, and we're not talking about those things. What we're talking about is rhetoric that makes some people feel comfortable identifying enemies that may or may not exist, discussing coal, which is absurd, considering the nature of global warming and destruction of the environment, which is real. So we're not getting that. What we did get was an attempt to unite the nation with rhetoric that may or may not, in fact, be truthful.
You know, and we're talking with Hank Shinkoff, Shinkoff Communications, talking about the president's address. You know, I thought the president could have landed some major marks last night when talking about unemployment, the economy, especially regarding African Americans at an all-time low. The cameras went right to the caucus, the Black caucus. Very, very stoic, no applause, motionless. I thought the president could have turned it around in such a big way, and it's just not his way. And I stated this before, Hank. I don't know if you agree with me. Give a little credit to your predecessor. I mean, it was. I mean, listen, I know he hates to do it. I hate to reference it. The base hates to hear it. But let's face it, it was Barack Obama who really kind of started this economy in a very positive way. I thought he, if he made a reference for the first time in his tenure, the first time, I thought it would have made some major points.
I agree with that entirely. Look, this was an attempt to set out a particular turf and to threaten those, frankly, who don't believe in unity. Unity meaning in this case that you must step in line with the president or else. And some of the things he said were just not believable. It did not strike the chord that you wanted. On the more jingoistic issues, putting up the wall, protecting jobs, which is what he was talking about, and protecting us from criminal immigrants, illegal immigrants, which seems to not be the case. I can't imagine people who come to this country, and I see a lot of them working, trying to build a life the same way our parents and grandparents did. I can't imagine them running around committing crimes. Now, there are those who do, but they've always done that. Murder Incorporated probably was an immigrant, illegal immigrant operation. But, this obsession with the other, the definition of almost a race-based argument about immigration is not a way to solve the problem. And the way to solve the problem on health insurance is not has none of the components that the president talked about last night. And if you look at today's news, three corporate giants coming up with a health care plan that may, in fact, just make things even more crazy is no answer to any of the problems we face internally or externally.
No question. Hank Shankoff, Shankoff Communications on the presidential address. Now, listen, I thought there were some tremendous moments last night. The sighting of the North Korean defector holding up the crutches. I thought that was incredible to me. I thought noticing the parents of Otto Wembeer, the student who was in North Korea, tried for a crime, sentenced, came back eventually to the United States, only to succumb what appeared to be his incidents of torture over there. I thought that was incredible. The policeman and his wife with a baby, the one who pretty much adopted the heroin addict's child. I thought that was incredible, sitting next to the First Lady. I mean, there were some wonderful moments. The parents of the girls killed by the MS-13 gang members right here on Long Island, an incredible reference as well. So there were some moments last night.
There is no question that the president was able to strike important chords. There is no question that his rhetoric was meant to be more soaring. There is no question that there was a partisan divide, which there always is on so many issues. And there's no question that last night's attempt, not to mollify people so much, but is to ease things within reason so that there could at least be, for public view, a sense of bringing the nation together, was rather important. But the outcomes are somewhat different. The attempt to share the stage with Americans who have been pained or who've done extraordinary things as part of the president's State of the Union, the stage direction, and this is not to be critical of the president so much as to note that we face serious challenges, which he elided over. We have a backwards and a forward stepping foreign policy, and we have a bad healthcare system that needs repair. And now it becomes the moment of truth going into the second year, is there's no one left to blame.
No question. A couple of minutes left. Hank Shankoff. Shankoff Communications. Henry, as far as the Democratic response, I really thought it was well done by Congressman Joe Kennedy, the third, of course, the grandson of Senator Robert Kennedy, whose speech was, to me, a little more idealistic instead of focused on specifics. Had a very populist tone, accusing Republicans of trying to make Americans believe that they're pitted against each other in a zero-sum game, as he put it, and in comment really seemingly directed at the president. Bullies may land a punch, but they can't match the strength of the people. I thought it was well done. A lot of energy from Joe Kennedy, a ton of energy, and really kind of spot on when you think about it. In the 23 minutes or so of response, what'd you think?
I thought he was very good at the camera. He is the Democrats desperately need a future And what is better in your future than to bring out a name that has resonance to many, with a face that has that looks good to the camera, that is a populist tinge and goes right to the kind of bone. When you hit bone, you feel it. Goes right to the point of pain that Americans are responding to in public opinion data. He is a very good piece of horse flesh, as they would say in the trade, with a long future, maybe. The Democrats need to find more people like him who can make the long-term argument about the future, because they haven't been able to do it so far. If you look at the bench Democrats who are sitting there and not applauding, they were not exactly the youthful future that Americans would like to have.
No question. Henry, so, let's move ahead a week here. I mean, what do you see as far as the DACA situation? You have a March 5th deadline, not far away. We have a government shutdown deadline, about a week away. Yep. We know that Senator Charles Schumer has taken off the table, as far as the wall situation, the $25 billion, $1.8 as far as, creating some citizenship. What do you see happens here in this once again game of chicken that will occur in about a week?
Donald Trump will push it to the wall, and he'll make everybody else dance to the tune, and that he's done very well so far. And there will be a massive gang up to try to throw blame somewhere, and it'll wind up on the Congress. Can they make a deal on DACA? The public opinion data is pretty clear. Nobody wants to see these individuals tossed out. It's just Republican or Democrat. The great American sense of compassion takes over. So is that a place from which they can function? If they're smart, they'll make a compromise. And if they're really smart with the compromise, you know what they'll do? They'll start talking about infrastructure or something else. Because in that speech yesterday was the discussion of infrastructure and getting America building again. Maybe that is the move. Get infrastructure on the table and do a trade-off on immigration reform, meaning DACA in this case, and take it from there so that everyone can declare a victory. If the president can do that, if he can get the rest, if he get the Congress to join with him, it'll be a great day for the country, and we'll see public opinion polls change. But if he can't do that, and we can't get a compromise, well, who knows what the future holds? It'll be quite interesting to watch a country run out of the ability to borrow at a time when these policies of last year, our net costs have increased exponentially, and our net income has declined. You can't run a business that way, and you certainly can't run a country that way, unless you intend 5 years down the road to have massive inflation or less and an economic system that, frankly, just doesn't function. Remember the 70s. We had it once before.
Absolutely. So, listen, a game of give and take once again. We'll see how it turns out. It's interesting, Hank, last night as the president was leaving the room, he was overheard, of course, saying 100%. He said, quote, 100% wants to publicly release the controversial classified memo about the Russian investigation as he was shaking hands with members of Congress as he left the chamber following the address here. How do you think this thing plays out? The White House earlier yesterday that was still carrying out a legal and national security review of the memo, and the president hadn't been briefed on what it actually says. So it was sent to the White House, what was it, late Monday, after Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee voted to release it, despite plenty of opposition from the Justice Department because of concerns, obviously, about the information. President has 5 days to object to the release. It looks like he's all forward here. I mean, what do you think here? Republicans are on the committee writing the memo based on classified info and contend it reveals improper surveillance by the FBI and the Justice Department in this investigation. I mean, what do you think right here how this will play out as far as the speaker, the chairman, and everything else, Adam Schiff? I see this as really kind of cherry-picking, the information itself. I'm not looking at this in serious fashion here as really getting the right information to begin with.
Partisanship has always been a part of everything, and there's nothing new here. And maybe we can argue that because we have more media scrutiny and more outlets, we have more scrutiny, and therefore we get more information, whether in fact it is accurate or not, or whether it is larger or more comprehensive or not. But what is shocking here is that in a partisan vein, the basic issue being our national security and the security of our democratic institutions from hacking by and destruction by other parties, known in this case and other major powers, in this case the Russians, being the real issue and the only issue for which the special prosecutor was frankly put in place, the special counsel, the original issue. It is astounding to watch people engage in partisan behaviors that make national security information and the rule of law part of a partisan and very dangerous discussion that will set a precedent that in the future can in fact damage this democracy significantly. If they're prepared to use partisanship as a reason and to use an excuse to release national security data, then what else will they do to protect this presidency and these people from potential investigation? That is very shocking and should be chilling to any American, regardless of whether they are Republican, Democrat, Independent, Conservative, or anything else.
Just a minute or two left with Henry Shinkoff, Shinkoff Communications. You know, just getting back to the address, no mention of the Russia investigation. By the way, just on a subtle note, you know, I thought it was a very poor job. You know, I had NBC on from the start. Tom Brokaw, I thought, had a terrible night along with the panel talking about obstruction of justice and everything else with this Russian investigation. Just moments before the president was to come on, I thought it was typical NBC at its worst last night, once again, really focusing on the negative right before what many were hoping for, a very positive address. I don't know if you caught any of that with Brokaw and company there, Hank.
Well, people are obsessed with things they don't need to be obsessed with. The discussion last night likely should not have been on the Russian investigation. Discussion last night likely should have been on what policy initiatives is the president talking about and what do they mean based upon what's happened. You cannot suddenly show up and say it is a brand new world, nothing happened in the last year. President understood that. What he did was say, look at all that we've done, clap for himself in front of the cameras, and move forward. Okay, good. Russia is the secondary concern. What we talked about a moment ago, the release of that scrubbed-up memo partisanizing it, for lack of better terminology, is what is objectionable. What the reporters did last night, leading in with Russia, is frankly not fair to the president and probably not fair to the coverage.
Incredible stuff. Really happening. In and around, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. Have a great day, listeners. All the best.